Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, which you heard read earlier. Earthquakes are one of the most powerful and destructive forces on earth. In the Old Testament, earthquakes almost always pointed to the presence of God, the intervention of God, demonstrating his power as the God of the covenant, and also revealing himself as a righteous judge of wrath. On that day that Pontius Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified, Jesus was abandoned by God the Father, abandoned into the hands of sinful men. And the righteous judge poured out his entire wrath against sin on his only beloved Son on Calvary's cross. As Jesus breathed his last and gave up his spirit, St. Matthew records, "Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." The earthquake and the split rocks indicate the presence of God, approving of his death on the cross, approving of his work of salvation. It was as if earth heaved and tossed in grief at our Savior's death. Those few followers of Jesus who were brave enough to come to the crucifixion and witness it had to be overwhelmed with shock and confusion and fear. But there was no time to mentally process all the events that had happened that day because the Sabbath was about to begin. So Joseph of Arimathea asked to take Jesus' body down from the cross. He wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid it in his own tomb and then rolled a great stone over the entrance to protect it. The women who had followed Jesus saw the tomb. They saw where his body was laid, and they witnessed Joseph of Arimathea roll the stone in front. And the women were miserable because the one whom they thought was the king of the Jews is now dead. And what good is a dead king? A dead king cannot make decrees. A dead king cannot release prisoners from their chains or forgive peasants of the debts they owe the kingdom. A dead king is of no use. Due to the sinfulness that you and I inherited from Adam and those sins that we ourselves have committed, we are nothing more than sinful peasants in need of a king, a real living king. You need a king who can reconcile you with your heavenly Father and decree that you are righteous in his sight. You need a king who can unlock the chains that bind you in your prison of sorrow and suffering. You need a king who can forgive the wages of your sin and your transgression. Unbeknownst to the women and Jesus' disciples, their king was merely resting in the tomb. Way back at the beginning, God finished his original work of creation on the sixth day. And he saw that everything was good. And on the seventh day, God rested from his work. The eighth day back there in Eden represented a new beginning. Christ Jesus finished his work of salvation, his work of new creation, on the sixth day, Good Friday. And then on Sabbath, the seventh day, he rested in the tomb. And on the eighth day, Sunday, the first day of the week, it is the dawn of a new creation. St. Matthew records, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." The Sunday morning earthquake links Sunday back to Friday. Whatever God had in his mind on Friday, whatever had been accomplished so far, there was much more to come. The second earthquake signifies the effects of Jesus' death. The effects that Jesus' death has produced something greater and higher. Concordia commentary writer Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs points out that the Sunday earthquake is the only one mentioned in Matthew's gospel that does not communicate danger or judgment. Gibbs writes, in this earthquake, there is divine victory and proof of new life and of promises kept. The earthquake, and then the angel. Angels show up at every major step in God's plan of salvation. They are messengers who come to bring news to God's people, or to instruct or warn of danger, to guard from evil. Jesus says that on the last day, angels will accompany him on his great triumphant return. But this particular angel is tasked with calling Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, something that was unimaginable in their culture. They were to be eyewitnesses, putting the women at ease and reassuring them. The angel says, "Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." On that bright first Easter morning, our crucified Lord rose from his rest in the tomb. Jesus, true God and true man, united in body and soul, descended to preach personally to the captives in hell, as we confess in the creed. He went to hell to declare victory over sin, death, the devil, and the grave. Satan had been defeated through Jesus' life, his death, his suffering. The gates of hell can never prevail against the crucified and resurrected Christ Jesus. As I said earlier, a dead king is no use. So God raised up our Christ, a Christ our King, to be our raised King of Kings. God raised a crucified king from the dead, accepting his sacrifice as valid. Accepting his sacrifice as payment for your sins and the sins of all mankind. All who trust and believe in King Jesus for salvation, their transgressions are covered by the blood of the Lamb shed on the altar of the cross. And by his resurrection, you too might be raised and reign with him in eternal life. The resurrected King Jesus has reconciled you with the Father. He has declared you righteous in his sight. He is the King who has broken your chains of your trials and your temptations. For his sake, God the Father declares you justified, meaning just as if you have never sinned. And for his sake, your Heavenly Father, you no longer are a peasant. You are no longer a peasant, but you are an heir of eternal riches, Christ's eternal kingdom. Many people think that we have an angry God just waiting on you to make a mistake so he can squish you like a bug. But he's a God of infinite love and mercy. It was Jesus' love for you that held him to Calvary's cross. It was God the Father's love for you that caused him to turn his back on Jesus as he hung there on the cross, turned his back on his very own son. Some call this the great exchange. Jesus lived the perfect life, the perfect sinless life, in exchange for the life that you could never live. Jesus died your death in exchange for the death that you deserve. Jesus' resurrection is proof of a future exchange. St. Paul tells us that this worn-out body will one day be exchanged. He says the Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. The resurrection tells us everything Jesus taught is true, and every one of his promises are valid. All that stuff in the Bible about how much God loves you, yes, it is true. All those words about eternal life and living with him in heaven, that is also true. The promise that even though you die, that one day you too will rise from the dead and join him in heaven, that is true. Now, does that mean that life on this side of heaven will always be a walk through the rose garden? Unfortunately, no. In our Heavenly Father's hidden wisdom, he works in mysterious ways that brings about faith and trust in Jesus through our suffering. Luther called this the theology of the cross. The suffering causes you to stop trusting in yourself and cling tightly to the grace of Christ so that you take up your own cross and follow him and learn from him. Now, it's not that these crosses save you or anyone else. They certainly don't. Christ alone saves. But carrying your cross in your Christian life and confessing Christ as your Savior convey the love of Christ to others suffering in a sinful world. God's word teaches that the righteous live by faith. God never promised us riches, wealth. Even he never promised us good health in his life. He told St. Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." What God has promised you is eternal riches. He has promised you forgiveness of sins and eternal riches and joy that are found in Christ Jesus in this life and in the life to come. God's angel says to you, "Do not be afraid." You have God's promise that everything is under control, working all things for good for those who trust and believe in him, even when to you it looks like it is a disaster or a tragedy. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. The stone is still rolled away from the tomb. The entrance is open. You can look in, and the tomb is empty. And unless Jesus returns really soon, his empty tomb offers you a glimpse of what your tomb will look like after Christ's return on the last day. So you can rejoice every Sunday, because every Lord's Day is a day of Jesus' resurrection, the eighth day of the week, a new beginning, forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And just as the resurrected King Jesus sent his disciples into Galilee, right here in the divine service is where Jesus comes to serve you. He serves you wherever two or three are gathered in his name. He comes to you in the preaching of his gospel to strengthen you. He comes to grant you faith and forgiveness of sins in his gospel. He comes to you in the daily remembrance of your baptism to assure you that in your baptism, you are an heir of eternal life with him, marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You have been adopted into his holy family. And he comes to you on this altar this morning in his body and blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, to strengthen you in body and soul, to endure sorrow and suffering and pain and the tribulations in this life. The tomb is empty. Do not be afraid. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.